A woman who is a seeker of knowledge allows herself to be naturally humbled, and she has a permanent humility in her heart, and that allows her to be more compassionate and more humble in her dealings with people. But foremost, she becomes more humble in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is truly beautiful and one of the greatest etiquettes when it comes to seeking knowledge of the divine deen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, my dearest sisters. I pray you're all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. It has been quite a while, I'll admit. I haven't recorded a podcast in about 3 months, and I honestly have no good explanation, but alhamdulillah, I have been receiving so much love from all of you sisters. Like, I keep getting DMs and I keep, you know, hearing how much, like, you know, the knowledge that I've shared all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it's benefited you. Again, all of the success that comes from e-Muslimah, all of the knowledge that benefits you, is all from Allah alone. I take no credit, but it's just so beautiful to see how, even though when I'm not uploading, e-Muslimah is still receiving so much love from you sisters. So I truly appreciate it, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just give you so much and give you the most and bless you in this life and especially in the akhirah as well. Ameen. So I think when I wasn't recording, one of the episodes had flourished a lot, subhanAllah, and it was the wake-up call for the Muslim women, especially in the times of what we are seeing right now, injustice going on in the world as well, and the times coming to an end, like the signs of the hour are revealing itself, subhanAllah, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we must remind ourselves that this dunya isn't our home place at all, and we mustn't get too comfortable in this dunya. But I saw how much that impacted sisters from around the world, that episode, and I thought to myself, this was a big motivation for me to keep going and working through e-Muslimah. Anyway, enough of me kind of just going on and talking about this. Alhamdulillah, I'm just so happy to be recording again, because I think I also went through a phase where I just didn't have the ideas as well, and I didn't want my podcast to be forced. So I thought, you know what, let me give it some time, because I know that I will be learning new habits. I'll be finding different strategies that can help improve myself as a Muslim woman as well. And so I was waiting for the perfect time to share this with you sisters as well. And alhamdulillah, Ramadan is around the corner, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live to see another beautiful Ramadan, because it's so important that we are preparing ourselves for Ramadan, but not just for Ramadan. We should constantly be using our time to focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use that time to prepare for the akhirah as well, because we have to remember, we must not be living in this dunya too comfortably. This dunya is not our home place, and we know this as true Muslim believers, and so we must always remind ourselves that our true home is with Allah. So today's podcast episode, and I'm really, really excited to talk about this as well, is the topic of seeking knowledge as Muslim women. And one thing that I've noticed so much is the fact that, especially with what is going on in the world and the injustice with our dearest Palestinian brothers and sisters who are suffering, a lot of people around the world are picking up the Quran because they are so in awe of the faith that they have. And so people are picking up the Quran and they're seeking knowledge, and a lot of people are converting to Islam as well. They are reverting to Islam. And it is so beautiful to see how the knowledge of Islam can ignite this passion inside of a believer, to allow them to prosper in their iman, to allow them to develop better habits so that they can stay consistent and that they are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So this podcast episode will be about seeking knowledge as a Muslim woman, and we'll be covering these certain subtopics as well. So for example, why is seeking knowledge important for a Muslim woman, benefits of seeking knowledge, the etiquettes when it comes to seeking knowledge, because of course the Islam is about respect, your adab, tarbiyah, in every action that we do in Islam. There is an etiquette for every action and every deed in Islam as well, and also how to find authentic knowledge, mastering the time to seek knowledge as well as Muslim women, because we have a lot on our plate, especially if we're like mothers, for example, students, or we work as a Muslim woman. We have other obligations that Allah has made, you know, for us, and it's also important that we make sure that as well as we're fulfilling, I'm talking about realistically here, when we are filling our worldly duties that Allah has blessed us with, we need to also make sure that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah in our time, so that we can also reap the benefits of seeking knowledge as well and improving ourselves as Muslim women. There is a beautiful hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he stated, "To seek sacred knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim." Now, this could often mean seeking knowledge of the fard. This is number one, very important, because all of the fard obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, in order to fulfill those obligations, we must seek knowledge about them. So seeking knowledge about the fard. And this is where we're seeking knowledge from the Quran. And also it's important to seek knowledge such as Islamic law, so you know exactly what is acceptable in Islam and how we must conduct ourselves in our relations with other people, in our relations with the dunya, everything that we do, everything that comes from us and Allah has blessed us with, and you know, all of these fitna and things like that. So basically everything in this world, the Islamic law tells us how we must conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now again, it's vital that we seek knowledge about the differences between halal and haram. Nowadays what we see is people compromising when it comes to the haram and compromising when it comes to the halal as well, and we must always remember that there is a defined difference between the two terms, and we must also get our knowledge and understand that the haram is something that is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must not even cross that boundary. We must be so fearful from it as well. And actually, I learned something so beautiful and profound recently, where a true believer is someone who also stays away from the halal that could lead them to the haram as well. So of course the halal is there, we are allowed to seek the benefits and the pleasures of the halal that Allah has blessed us with, but we also need to remind ourselves that if there is a halal that could potentially lead us to a haram, then we must also avoid that as well. We must be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must constantly make dua to Allah that He allows us to be mindful of Him in all of our actions and every day. That itself is seeking knowledge. And let me tell you this, seeking knowledge as Muslim women, it allows us to be more mindful, more conscious of our deeds as well. It allows us to think about Allah 24/7, obviously not literally, that is the aim inshallah of course, but what I'm saying is you think about Allah more in your daily activities. When you're about to do something, you think of Allah. When you're about to make a decision, you think of Allah. But you only get that when you're indulging yourself in this beautiful sacred knowledge that He has blessed us with. And it's also important that, especially with this hadith, you know, talking about how important it is to seek sacred knowledge and how it's an obligation. Also, worldly knowledge after the deen is very important as well. So when I'm talking about sacred knowledge, I'm mainly talking about the knowledge of the deen and Islam. But we also need to keep reminding ourselves that also after the deen, the knowledge of the deen is foremost, number one. There is no compromise on that. And I will obviously speak about it more in detail in just a moment. But worldly knowledge after deen is very important, and it's a necessity because we need to get by in this dunya. So of course, number one foremost, having knowledge of the deen is important. It is a non-negotiable, it's an obligation upon us as Muslims, and we must keep that in mind. But also we must, after having knowledge of the deen, we must have worldly knowledge to allow us to get by in this dunya as well, because it also allows us to progress, and it also allows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us more when we conduct our worldly affairs in the right manner as well. And again, seeking halal rizq is obligatory, and that is also referred to in a hadith as well. So making sure that we have the correct knowledge and the right knowledge of obtaining things that are halal as well is vital in Islam. And again, just going back to the haram and the halal topic as well, seeking knowledge of just actions that please Allah, but also actions that displease Allah. Because when you seek knowledge and you seek knowledge about actions that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to help you stay away from sin. Number one, that's a fact. When you have no knowledge or you don't have any desire to learn that knowledge as to what displeases Allah, then you're not going to be mindful. When we commit a sin, this is why a lot of people, when they commit sins, Some of the time, it's because they're actually not aware that what they're doing is a sin. So can you see how vital it is seeking knowledge and why it is an obligation for us Muslims to understand and seek the knowledge as well of Islam? Especially how societies are changing. You know, the Western values and the Westernized ideologies are taking over. They're brainwashing our children, Muslim children. They are brainwashing societies. Some people are even going against Islam just to fit in with the society that is dominated by Western values and are only and they're only accepted if they adopt Western values. And it's very sad. And we must also just remind ourselves. And by the way, this is where a lot of misconceptions happen when people start twisting Islam. So if they don't have the right knowledge on something, they will kind of use their nafs without realizing to come up with an opinion. In Islam, when it comes to you having an opinion on the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of the deen, that is wrong. You can't just... A fact and opinion are two different things, okay? Something about the deen is not based on opinion. It's a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is spoken to us, it's reached to us, it's taught to us how to obey those commandments through our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we cannot compromise the deen. So when it comes to seeking knowledge, it allows us to eradicate these misconceptions as well. And foremost, it allows us to stay away from sin because of how corrupt this dunya is becoming. Coming due to these, I don't want to say westernized ideologies, I don't want to just blame it on the West, but what I'm trying to say is just values that go against Islam, just values that are just not befitting to us as Muslim believers and will not allow us to thrive as Muslim women as well. So like I was saying before, how do we know if something is useful, sacred knowledge, something that will benefit us? So it's any knowledge of the deen, foremost. Okay, and so that's the deen, and that is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the knowledge of our deen foremost. Another useful knowledge is the worldly knowledge. So things like how to obtain halal rizq, for example, because that's an obligation upon Muslim men to have a halal income. But a type of knowledge that is not beneficial to a Muslim believer, to a Muslim woman, and that is useless content on social media. I literally have that written in my notes, useless content on social media, because let's be honest, like, yes, you know, we as Muslim women, we see so many things on social media to do with the beauty of women and societies and the standards that women must have. Like, we see so many corrupt and filth on like TikTok and social media. So this is why it's so important that we stay away, we keep ourselves away from these things, and also unfollow people who bring us this useful information. So basically any information that will not allow us to reach Allah, that will not allow us to benefit and strengthen our relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the type of uselessness that we must keep ourselves away from. Another very beautiful hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that states, the most beloved practice in the sight of Allah is love for the sake of Allah and hatred for the sake of Allah. So what this hadith is implying here is that love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and hate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. I love this hadith because it clearly tells you exactly that this is an act of ibadah. This is a beautiful act of worship where when you love something and you love things because Allah loves them, right? And you hate things because Allah hates them. And it's so important that this knowledge here and to actually practice this hadith as well, the root of it is seeking the correct knowledge. Seeking the correct knowledge to actually understand what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And then you can start implementing this knowledge as well. But also understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, what, you know, displeases him. And obviously, once you've seeked that knowledge, you can now then implement it into your life. And in that way, it allows you to strengthen your faith with, you know, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but allows you to strengthen your relationship and this beautiful connection that, you know, he has blessed us with. So why is it that seeking knowledge is vital as a Muslim woman? Understanding Islam allows us Muslims to deepen our faith and spiritual connection, and knowledge of Islamic principles, teachings, and practices enables us to develop a stronger relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live according to Islamic values. And that's what I always say to myself, and you know, it's the biggest reminder to myself foremost, is that I want to, you need to tell yourself as well this, like when you wake up, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with another morning, another night where you can wake up and pray and do your ibadah, you need to have that mindset where today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with another day to allow me to seek his knowledge, to allow me to seek and become a better person. We need to tell ourselves that we must live today the way, you know, in a state that pleases Allah, to the point where when we are doing nothing, okay, that also pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make sure that we are a living embodiment of the deen. We are a living embodiment of the knowledge that we seek of Islam. And so it's so important that as Muslim women, we must have that mindset where, okay, now I'm about to go outside, I must conduct myself in a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, you gain that mindset by seeking authentic knowledge, seeking knowledge about the deen to allow you to become a better person, to allow you to fall in love with the deen, subhanallah, especially when I started on my own journey on seeking knowledge. When I tell you, my love for the deen and my love for my creator increased massively, because when you're reading and you're seeking knowledge about Islam, it's all beautiful. Every aspect, every knowledge that you obtain about Islam, it's nothing but like a piece of fruit. There's so much sweetness in it, and it makes you fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, I often tell people this as well, and I tell myself foremost, is that like, you cannot love somebody without knowing them. So you cannot love the Creator without knowing Him. And so we must know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must know and understand Islam. We must know how to conduct ourselves as Muslim women. Especially, like, obviously we see on social media, we see on certain platforms that the modesty of the idol Muslimah is being compromised. And we must always remind ourselves that this is not the standard. And this is the world standard, but the standard of beauty is written in the Quran. Okay, and that is modesty, that is haya, and it's so important that we embody that. But again, we can only embody that when we seek the knowledge of it. And you know what's very beautiful is that when, so I'm just using this as an example as well, but when we are seeking knowledge of something, for example, like modesty, a lot of the times we look at modesty on a surface level. So what that means is we look at modesty as an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when we don't understand it, as Muslims, we must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his infinite wisdom as well. And because he is the greatest, and you know, he knows what we do not know. And it's so important that we obey and we trust our creator, and we must follow. But, and this is the other thing, and I've mentioned it on my podcast before, when you seek knowledge, right, when you seek knowledge, it allows you to deepen your faith, and it allows you to deepen the love that you have for your creator, the love that you have for an act of worship as well. You know, some of the greatest people that I've seen in my life who are always in constant ibadah, and that's because they don't do it because it's obligation, they do it because they love it so much, and they really feel the connection. And when I go to ask them, they always say that they're seeking knowledge about Islam, and it allows them to grow. When I tell you, seeking knowledge as a Muslim woman as well, it allows you to grow, it allows you to perfect your character. Because when I tell you, when you're seeking knowledge, it allows you to become so beautiful in your heart. Your heart becomes more soft. There are so many things. It allows you to be more feminine because you understand what, how a Muslim woman should conduct herself. And it's very beautiful because those are the traits, those are the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves foremost. And by seeking knowledge, it's also a constant reminder to ourselves that we are thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. It allows us to develop these habits that we can continue to pass on to the next generation, inshallah. And it's just a beautiful journey. And when it comes to seeking knowledge, right, people often think that there is an end to seeking knowledge. It's like some sort of course where you start learning about the knowledge of the deen, and then you, like, say for example, becoming a scholar, becoming an alim or an alima. What people think is that, okay, you know, alima, that's 6 years. In 6 years, I'll learn the entire, you know, knowledge of the deen, my creator, all the hadiths and fiqhs and etc. But actually, this is Islam we're talking about. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge does not end. It will never, ever, ever end. There is so much that we do not know that is kept with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is so much beauty and wisdom in every little detail of this dunya that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. In every little event that happens in our life, there's a reason for it. And we must consistently seek knowledge and just adopt that love that we have for Islam, for the ilm, for the knowledge that we seek as well. Knowledge also allows the Muslim women to be humbled, to be tamed, to, you know, remind herself that this dunya is not worth living. And it's beautiful because when you're in a world that wants to take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember this knowledge that you've adopted and you try to practice it, and you practice it every single day, where subhanAllah, it becomes a habit. That becomes you. That knowledge that you're practicing, it becomes a part of you and it becomes a part of your lifestyle. And this is what I say to sisters when they ask how can they change their lifestyle that is pleasing to more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, you know, we can all list points as to how to improve their lifestyle, but the only thing that will allow us to be consistent in our act of worship and consistent in developing a fruitful, beneficial lifestyle, a beneficial preparation for this akhirah, is by seeking ilm, seeking knowledge and falling in love with the process. When you actually understand why we must cover ourselves, why we must pray salah, why we must do dhikr, why we must read the Quran, once you understand that, all you know that it is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because Allah is so kind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind. And if you are somebody that is seeking knowledge, if you are a Muslim woman and you are seeking knowledge of the deen, you are on the right path, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you to be on that path, and nothing is more beautiful than that. I genuinely think when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in a position where we are able to seek knowledge of the deen, like, that is just one of the most beautiful blessings, because not everybody has that blessing where they're able to seek the knowledge of Islam. And some people's hearts, unfortunately, they are completely sealed. They are so lost in the dunya. And I always remind myself, and I tell sisters as well, that we must be happy and blessed that doesn't matter what is happening in our life, so long as we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so long as we are able to consistently learn and seek the deen and seek the knowledge and the ilm of Islam that is required for us to, you know, better ourselves and get to the akhirah as well. It's truly beautiful. Another reason why as Muslim women we should be seeking knowledge of Islam is the fact that education empowers us Muslim women by giving us the tools to understand our rights and responsibilities within Islam. Nowadays, again, we live in a backwards society, and sorry, I apologize for using the word backwards, but let's be honest, like, we live in a society where, you know, people see men and women as 50-50 and all the, like, the, you know, their roles has to be the same, and they, you know, if men can do this, women can do this, and if women can do this, then men should be able to do this. Like, do you see what I mean? I want to say it's feminism, but I don't have that much understanding in feminism to talk about it, so I'm not going to go into it so much detail. But in Islam, what's so beautiful is that men and women are seen equal, but you have different responsibilities. But your worth, what you bring to the table, is equal but different responsibilities to allow you to flourish in your deen as well. But it allows a Muslim woman to actually understand her responsibilities within Islam. So you exactly know what is expected of you as a woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created women very different from men. And that is, you know, explicitly stated in the Quran as well, how both men and women are built different. And so, of course, we will have different responsibilities. But it allows Muslim women to understand their rights as well. And I say this because I come from a very cultural background as well. And I know that many of you sisters who are listening to E-Muslimah, you are from a culture that is probably very dominated and clashes with, I put clashes in quotation marks, by the way. Obviously, you can't see me behind the microphone, but I am putting quotations around that word clash, because sometimes cultural values does clash with religious values, and it should not be the case, because religion and religious values, Islamic values foremost, comes beyond anything. Any cultural value that disagrees, that does not meet the expectations of Islamic values, should be disregarded completely. But any cultural values that, you know, adhere to the beautiful expectations of Islam, and that fulfills the expectations of Islam, then we can keep that. We can keep that cultural value. But any cultural values that do not align with Islamic principles, we must disregard. And especially in families that I have seen as well, it's very common for cultural values to be mixed into Islam, and that happens in a lot of Middle Eastern cultures and a lot of South Asian cultures as well. And what tends to happen is, when we grow up, certain cultural values that we thought were Islamic values are actually not, and it brainwashes us. We don't actually realize this, but subhanAllah, it brainwashes us. And we must remember that religion and culture are two very different things. If it wasn't for Islam, there'd be no such thing as culture. There would be no such thing as diversity. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allowed it to happen. Our culture should be Islam. That's what it is. A culture is, you know, where you're from, your identity, who you are. Right? And so nowadays in society, what we're seeing is that culture is taking away people from Islam because they see culture as their identity. But our culture is our religion, and that is Islam. And every single Muslim believer, doesn't matter where they're from, what race, what background, Islam is what we use as the guideline of our life. Foremost, full stop. There is no compromise on that. So again, any cultural values that do not align with Islamic principles, they need to be disregarded. But any that do align with the Islamic principles, then yes, it's beautiful. We must keep that aspect of our culture going because it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what I'm saying is, seeking knowledge has a beautiful benefit because it allows you to actually see the rights of a woman in Islam as well, what your rights are, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded our rights to be. And often in cultures, again, women are seen as very, very little compared to men, like very little, to the point where they have almost little rights. But then when you read about women in Islam, subhanallah, the rights of a woman in Islam, read the Quran, read Surah An-Nisa, is so beautiful, subhanallah. Like, it is the rights of a woman in Islam, truly beautiful. And it also goes to show that Islam really puts us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us women at a very high status, and that is the status that we must follow, a status that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The responsibilities, the rights that are expected of us as Muslim women, we must adhere to that, because we know that is an act of ibadah, that is us pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay, third reason as to why Muslim women must be seeking knowledge is to counter misconceptions. This is so common in today's society as well, and even just growing up, I have noticed this. Misconceptions happen all the time, especially in social media. I think that is the most common place where, as Muslims, we often get misconceptions from, because usually what happens is that on social media, a lot of things that are being said about Islam in terms of the knowledge is not always referenced. And so in terms of its authenticity, it cannot be proven as such. And in many societies, like, misconceptions about Islam and the role of a woman, like I said, this actually links to the previous point that I was talking to your sisters about. And the role of a woman can be very different, right? So a lot of women will have a certain misconception about how Islam views women, but it's not true. When you seek the knowledge and the correct, authentic knowledge of the deen, it really allows us to understand who we are and what is expected of us as Muslims. Another reason as to why, as Muslim women, we must seek knowledge about our beautiful deen is because seeking knowledge promotes good deeds, good amal. And I think that is so, so beautiful, because if you think about it, when you are seeking the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are actively seeking it, it allows you to be, number one, constantly reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day. It constantly reminds you to stay away from sins and not to transgress any boundaries. It also allows you to have this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows you to have this love of doing certain acts of deed. And also, it motivates you as well. When you find out knowledge about a certain deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much, you will have that desire to do it. And it's beautiful because it's Allah that guided you to be in that position. So it's a blessing. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a blessing of His knowledge, okay, and of this ilm that He has given us, it is an amana. It is a responsibility for us to conduct and become a living embodiment of the knowledge that we seek. Only that way we can strengthen our deen. Only that way we can strengthen our hearts to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes our heart as Muslim women very, very soft. And also seeking knowledge, because it promotes such a good stimulant for your mental health as well and for your heart, and the fact that when we go through hardship as well, we know to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately, because we know the benefits of tawakkul. We know the benefits of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us. When you know this, you turn to Him more as well. And also, what's so beautiful is that knowledge of Islam enables us Muslim women to, you know, participate in like religious, social activities as well, promoting Islam. Like, for example, when I started properly learning about the deen and actually seeking authentic knowledge, I noticed that I would see myself going to the masjid more. I would see myself wanting to, you know, pray in the mosque more because I knew the virtue for it. Obviously, it's not an obligation for Muslim women to pray in masjids, but the fact that there is so much virtue and goodness about the certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm smiling right now, but the certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, it just makes you want to do it more. And also, this knowledge that you are gaining, you get to actively share it with those around you. Having righteous company as well that can motivate you to seek this knowledge is so beautiful. So one of the things I would highly suggest is that if you're a Muslim woman and you have access to your local masjid, go to your local masjid, you know, make friends with sisters or just any of your righteous company, your beautiful family and friends, you know, have a sisters gathering, a sisters halakha where you can seek knowledge and share that beautiful knowledge that you are seeking. Because again, there is a beautiful hadith by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that states, and this is such a beautiful hadith, "Verily, among those actions and good deeds a believer will recover after his death are sacred knowledge he taught and spread, a pious child he left behind, a copy of the Quran he left as a legacy, a masjid he constructed or a house he built for the traveller, a stream he set flowing, or voluntary charity he gave from his wealth while he was alive and healthy. They will continue to reach him after his death." Subhanallah. You know, when we gain this sacred knowledge and we share this sacred knowledge to those around us, it becomes sadaqa jariyah for us. It becomes charity. And, you know, this includes giving this knowledge to other people. And what's so beautiful is that that's a big virtue when it comes to seeking knowledge. The fact that when you die, when our time comes to an end, the people where you have shared that beneficial knowledge to, and they are able to practice that knowledge and they learn something from you about Islam and they use it in their daily life and they practice it, you will be getting reward for that. And I think that is so beautiful. That's why it's when you understand the virtues of seeking knowledge, it only pushes you to want to seek knowledge more about Islam and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the deen. And I cannot, like, this is what I mean, this whole journey of just knowledge itself and what it is incredibly beautiful. The fact that we are getting reward just by sharing it is truly profound and truly beautiful as well. And also, another reason as to why, as Muslim women, we should always be seeking, you know, beneficial, sacred knowledge of the deen, and that is because, simply, it provides guidance for us for our daily life. Islamic knowledge, you know, provides guidance for navigating various aspects of our life, and this includes things like family relationships, our career choices, our ethics, and our personal development. And it offers us insights and principles to help us to make informed decisions and also live a fulfilling life that is aligned with Islamic teachings. Like I said, the knowledge of the deen is there to humble us. It is there to soften our hearts and feel that love and passion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that every action that we do, before every decision that we make, it becomes a sacred part of us making a decision. So before we, you know, go and take a job, you think as a Muslim woman, okay, but will Allah be happy with me? I know that by seeking this knowledge, I know that this career pathway might not be correct, because you have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, seeking knowledge allows you to develop the positive qualities that a true mu'min, a true believer should have. And that is having, you know, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being fearful of transgressing the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you have those true raw emotions in your heart, that's how you know the knowledge is softening your heart. But also, we must be living embodiments. I think I've said that about like 5 times already, but we must be practicing the knowledge that we seek. If we seek knowledge and we don't practice it, that knowledge will do nothing for us. It won't. Yes, we'll have knowledge, but then it's like we are not actually doing the good deeds. For example, it's like somebody having knowledge about Salah, and they know about Salah, but they don't practice Salah. And can you see, that's not accepted. You know, in Islam, Allah does not like that. Allah, that displeases Allah foremost, and not doing your salah is completely haram as well, even though you have the knowledge of it. So just having the ilm doesn't mean anything. You need to have the amal, the good deeds, the actions that come with it. So the knowledge that you are seeking, practice it. That is when the true reward and the true benefits of the knowledge you gained will come seeking through. And also, what's truly so beautiful, subhanAllah, is that when you are in a position, like say, for example, especially with spouses in a marriage or in a family, you know, relationship, your relationship with your parents, your siblings, your friends, it's so important to understand that Islam is the core basis of all of those relationships, and that anything you do, the way you treat a person, before you even think about treating them in any type of way, you need to think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will think of you. And when you, and this again comes from learning about the deen, when you learn about the sacred knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, this allows you to come up with your character, allows you to improve the way you treat other people, allows you to improve how you perceive one another, allows you to respect your parents because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to do so. It allows us to obey our husbands because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, told us to obey our husbands. Again, in terms of marriage, obviously, I'm not going to go into so much detail because this isn't what the podcast is about. But this is what I'm telling you. When you understand the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of why we must do these commandments, the knowledge that He has, you know, given to us, it allows us to build our family relationships as well. It allows us to have a beautiful relationship with our spouse as well. When the relationship is based on Islam and is the core, and the core principle, the core base of that relationship, that halal relationship, so that family relationship or spouse relationship, when the core is Islam, everything will flourish. When before you talk to them, you think about Islam, you think about Allah, how Allah will view you. When you have a disagreement, you think about how Allah would want you to handle this. Think about what's most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what I mean. When you're seeking knowledge, it allows you to identify what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the way you act towards other people, you will think. A true Muslim woman will think, okay, if I act like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be happy with me. So I need to bite my tongue. I need to have sabr because I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be on my side if I adopt these good characteristics that He loves to see in His believers. And when you have that mindset, it will be a guideline for a true Muslim woman to be able to navigate through her life. And also another thing that is so beautiful, especially for Muslim women as well, and when it comes to seeking knowledge, Muslim women, we are the backbone of society. We are the ones that raise our children. And as our children are growing up, their first influence, let me tell you this, their first influence, their first role model is their mother. Yes, obviously the father is there as well. But in terms of like the connection that they have, the attachment levels that they have, that is towards their mother. And so as a mother, when you have the knowledge, okay, when you have the knowledge of the deen, you are able to spread it to your children. So your children do not get that misinformation from the outside world or whatever they're learning in school. Because I know in this country, they are teaching some things that are not Islamic in schools at the minute as well. And so it's very important. And I'm talking about the Western side of things, by the way, like the Western schools. So it's really important that as a Muslim mother, we are sharing the correct knowledge with our children. And also remember what I said, if you're not practicing the ilm, if you're not being a living embodiment of what you are learning, then it's not going to have an effect. And so with children as well, they see it from role modeling their mothers as well. If you are praying your salah, if you are doing good deeds, if you are having sabr, if you are speaking nicely, your children will pay attention to that more. Because they're young, especially growing up, they're young, they're not able to comprehend things as much. So they follow you through actions. So again, seeking knowledge allows you to be able to share that knowledge. Like for example, if you don't know the depth of the fiqh of wudu, we must learn that as Muslim women. Because if we don't learn it, we might accidentally spread incorrect information to our children. And we must be able to allow our children to fall in love with the ibadah that they do. Like, this is why we love doing wudu, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are clean. You know, when you start promoting Islam in such a positive way, it does big things for your children, inshallah. It really does do big things for our children. And one thing that I've noticed as well is that when we are role modeling children, it allows them to develop a positive habit as well. And so again, if we have knowledge of salah, but we are not doing salah ourselves, our children will not be able to gain that from us either. So it's important that we learn about the basic requirements as Muslim women, the knowledge that we need as Muslim women about the deen. We are able to gain that knowledge so that we can pass it on. And could you imagine, subhanallah, because of you and how you practice it, by the way, everything is from Allah, all success, all blessings are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But could you imagine, as you, as a Muslim woman, you are, you know, pious, you are learning about the deen and you are sharing it with your children to the point where when you pass away and your children become older and they pass it to their children, and this lineage of Muslim traits, of these beautiful Islamic characteristics and virtues and teachings, are being passed down generations to generations, you will get rewarded for it as well. And one thing that I always remind myself foremost before I even tell anybody else is the fact that we do not want the ending of Islamic teachings to end with us in our bloodline. We should not be the end of it. If you are somebody that does not come from a religious household, that religious household should now come from you. So teach your children about Islam in the most beautiful, loving way. And, you know, embody the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Because, as I said, Muslim women, we are the backbone of society. How we raise our children will say a lot about us as well. And it's so important. And I can say this as a teacher as well, because, as you all know, I do teach. And what I've noticed is that when parents do, children who display more negative, irrational behaviors, more disrespect to those around them, their parents don't embody that respect either. And so they are also disrespectful themselves. So could you imagine when you have these beautiful Islamic teachings that you are constantly sharing with your child every single day to develop their love, that will show when they are having their dealings with other people as well. And I truly think it is so beautiful, subhanAllah, when you think of knowledge that way. And also, seeking knowledge saves relationships. It does, because when you understand what is expected of you in your marriage with your spouse, when you understand these things, right, your relationship is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking knowledge allows you to renew your intentions and do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't think there is anything more beautiful than that. And also foremost, what is so beautiful about seeking the knowledge of Islam is the amount of peace and fulfillment it gives your heart. I'm even getting shivers from this as well, because it is truly so beautiful as to how much peace it gives in one's heart, and it allows you to be at peace with the blessings and any hardships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us, and it allows us to be better, and it allows us to be happy with what we have as well, and the true contentment. And also it allows you to stop chasing the dunya. It really does, because you're constantly reminding yourself about preparing for the akhirah, and you constantly are reminded of, you know, being grateful for the things that you have. And it's truly beautiful. The peace and the contentment that you get from seeking the sacred knowledge is, it's like none other, really. Subhanallah, please take my word for it, because I feel like after such a long time, I feel ever since like seeking Islamic knowledge, it allowed my heart to be at the most content and peace it has ever been, to the point where when I am afflicted with trials, I don't run and chase the dunya, right? And that's important. A true believer does not chase the dunya. It doesn't run to the creation for help. It goes, that true believer, that true Muslim woman, she turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away. Even, no matter how painful it is, because she knows that true peace and contentment only lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she knows that from seeking this beautiful, profound knowledge that is allowing her to be the best that she can be as a Muslim woman. And I think that that is the most true form of ibadah one can do, is when your heart is truly so softened to the point where it's so vulnerable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's so soft for Allah. And there is nothing more beautiful than that. Honestly, there's nothing more beautiful than that feeling in the heart. Okay, so one thing I want to talk about next, and this is vital. When it comes to seeking knowledge, we must look at the etiquettes. Now, everything that we do in Islam for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with etiquettes. For example, dealing with our parents, dealing with our spouses, when we're seeking knowledge, when we're speaking to others, when we are reading Quran, when we're performing wudu, when we're doing our salah, etc., etc. The list goes on. But there, in Islam, there is respect, and there are respectful ways of conducting yourself when it comes to acts of ibadah. And so today I'm going to be talking about etiquettes of seeking knowledge. So number one, and that is to rectify our intention. When you're seeking knowledge and you're about to embark this, you know, journey on becoming a scholar or becoming an ulama or just anything to make yourself into a better Muslim being, right? Into the best Muslim woman you can be, especially if you're somebody that is taking an ulama course or you are becoming a scholar, you shouldn't do the ulama course because you want the name, right? You want the title. Oh, I want to be a scholar, I want to be an ulama. You shouldn't even be thinking that. You should be doing this because you want to be the best Muslim woman you can be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to improve yourself so much, and you want this peace and fulfillment, and you want to be able to take advantage of this beautiful blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that is our gateway to Jannah, and that allows us to understand Islam and understand how we can prepare ourselves for the akhirah and to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why we are seeking knowledge, not because to show off, not because to be arrogant, okay? That is the worst way that you can act when it comes to seeking knowledge. When you're seeking knowledge and you do it to kind of show off to other people, to show off your knowledge, just remember, even if people might not see it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we reveal and what we conceal. And that is stated in the Quran as well. Allah knows our intentions, and that should be enough to instill fear in us for us to not do these things at all. So we are seeking knowledge because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to love Him more, to understand our deen, and to allow us to be steadfast. And also, when you think about it, when you're seeking knowledge, you are sacrificing your time, right? And so when you sacrifice your time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are actually keeping yourself away from sin and always in a state of remembering Allah. And the time we are spending here for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is superior than a lifetime spent on worldly gain. And you know what, this is such a big reminder to us sisters, because when we think about it, think about how many times we are there, I don't want to say waste our time, that's not the right way of saying it, but how much we use our time for other people, how much we're there for a friend when they're sad, how much we are there for, you know, our work, our jobs, our careers, right, for everything else in this dunya. But we also need to reflect, right, how much time are we spending for Allah, being present in front of Allah. Obviously, we're present in Allah, you know, 24/7, of course, but feeling that presence, that you are present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just take a time to reflect on that. Pause this podcast and, you know, take a time to reflect, because often when you have that self-reflection, you've actually spent more time being there for others and for the world than actually being there. Allah doesn't need us to be there for Him, of course not. Astaghfirullah, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the fact that how often is it that we stand and we acknowledge that we are in front of Allah, that everything that we are doing, we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we're doing it. So again, when we are spending this time, so this also tells us as well that when we are spending time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is superior than a lifetime spent on worldly gain. A lifetime. Even if it's like an hour a day where we are reading Quran, or we are seeking knowledge, or we are practicing our tajweed, or we are practicing our hifs, it allows us to be present and acknowledge that we are present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It allows our hearts to be humbled, it allows ourselves to be humbled, and it allows us to act in a way where we are respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when it comes to the etiquettes of seeking knowledge, and before we are sacrificing our time, we must begin with dua. So if you are somebody that is seeking knowledge, it is vital that you make dua, and that you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes any obstacles in our path to seeking knowledge. Because actually, a believer that seeks knowledge, they are in a, I don't want to say in a risky position, but what I'm trying to say is the fact that seeking knowledge can lead to, if you don't have the correct intentions, it can lead you to being arrogant, right? It can lead you to being arrogant. That's why we must always make dua, because seeking knowledge, right, that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must be, and remember what I said, every blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it's an amana. So we must remember to be accountable for that blessing as well. Okay, we must treat that blessing with such beautiful practice. This is the knowledge of Allah we are talking about. This is not worldly knowledge or anything like that. We must handle this knowledge with care. We must handle this knowledge with love as well. And so if we want to ask anything from anyone, always remember to always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must offer our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, it states how, you know, if we are grateful, then Allah will surely and certainly increase us. And obviously that is so beautiful. So it's really important that before, when you are seeking knowledge, and whilst you are seeking knowledge, we are constantly offering gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must always remind ourselves this. We must humble ourselves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give this opportunity to just anyone. So it's so important to humble ourselves before Allah and to not be arrogant, or to not do ostentation. Ostentation just means showing off. So we shouldn't be showing off, nor should we be arrogant. We must conduct ourselves, we must have the etiquettes, and always remind ourselves every single time before we seek any knowledge to rectify our intentions. What tends to happen is that, especially when you are seeking knowledge constantly, it becomes, sometimes we tend to forget about making and purifying and just renewing our intentions and just stating it to Allah. And so sincere intentions is vital when it comes to seeking knowledge. But if we contaminate these intentions by greed, or for fame, or like I said before, for arrogance and showing off, for this dunya, there is nothing worse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, metaphorically, there is nothing worse than you taking that knowledge that is a beautiful blessing, right? It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you just exchanging that just for fame or for greed. It's difficult. It's it's not something that we must ever think of ourselves doing. So that's why it's so important to renew our intentions. And there is nothing that destroys the blessings of the knowledge than a lack of ikhlas, sincerity. So if we're not sincere when it comes to obtaining that knowledge and seeking that knowledge and practicing that knowledge as well, and this is, we'll come on to this later on, especially when I talk about, you know, being a living embodiment of the deen. If there is no sincerity in what we do, it's like praying salah when you're not sincere because you want to show off. That's the example that I'm using here. And again, there is nothing that destroys blessings more than when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the blessing and you do not have sincerity or ikhlas. Again, you shouldn't be seeking knowledge to show off or to display how much that you know. And we shouldn't be seeking knowledge because we want praise from people, because seeking praise from anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely wrong. And a person should not gauge someone's impact on another person's to the extent to which you make them cry as well. So using knowledge to guilt people as well and making them feel bad, that is the wrong way of going on about this, especially when you have the intention to make them feel guilty for what they are doing. We must always remember that this knowledge should be this beautiful knowledge that Allah has given us for us to seek. This knowledge, when we share it, it should uplift people. And so when we are speaking about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must speak it in the most loving way. We must talk about it in the most loving and fruitful manner that allows people to, you know, seek for that knowledge more, and it ignites something inside of them. And also, again, when we're sharing this knowledge, we have to always remember that the knowledge that we share should have an impact on the hearts of people, but not in a negative manner. And the more we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes people to understand and listen to us when we are sharing knowledge with them. And also, goodness in this akhirah is obtained by achieving the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, when we achieve the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then again, that is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is also an indication that we are doing something right in our life. And this love that I talk about should lie in the foundation of all of our actions and even in our worship. And we must not even waste the opportunity of seeking knowledge, because it is the true landing place of all virtue. And we must always understand and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always watching us, and we should refrain from doing any disobedience. And that, again, when you're seeking knowledge, it allows you to be aware of what this disobedience is. And when we follow that, we must also realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. So if we take this beautiful ilm that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we take it and we, you know, use it in a negative manner, okay, that is a form of disobedience. And again, we need to be fearful, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of what we reveal and what we conceal, and He is watching everything. And also, you know, seeking knowledge, this is a beautiful act of ibadah as well. And we must follow the beautiful path of our pious elders, such as the Sahaba, all of the greatest people in Islam who were literally the living embodiment of the deen. I would say, you know, the foremost person that is the living embodiment of the deen is our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he should be the perfect role model for us, because he was human just like us as well. And so he is our role model. We need to aspire to be like him, even though we can never reach to his level, but we must keep making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to strive for that. And we must strive to achieve the sunnah and adorn ourselves with the sunnah character, the way of thinking, the sunnah mercy and the etiquettes. So again, when you're seeking knowledge about the deen, you're seeking knowledge about the beautiful, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful sunnah as well. When you strive to do the sunnah, it allows you to understand what is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if he loved him so much, then obviously the way our beloved Prophet is displaying himself, that should be a sign. That's the sunnah. We must follow it, because that's how we know, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves these characteristics. So we must practice this. So a Muslim woman can check that they are following the Sunnah by observing the Sunnah characteristics and the manifestation of the Sunnah. Knowledge itself, ilm in itself, is not enough but to adorn ourselves with manners and actions. And knowledge to be translated into actions and implemented into our lives is vital. And we must beautify the action through etiquettes and manners. And again, this makes our actions beautiful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala metaphorically. And again, so obviously when we do our ilm and we have the amal with it, so we do the actions from it, so it's with etiquettes, it's with the adab, it's with the etiquettes and manners that allows our act of worship, this amal, to be beautified. And again, that is a true characteristic that is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beautiful beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every amal he did it with sincerity and he did it with adab, he did it with etiquettes and manners, because that's how much he respected the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is what makes actions more beautified, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much. So again, for example, if you are eating dinner with your family, for example, right? Having dinner, eating, being around with your family, that is sunnah. And there's much greater goodness than eating alone. And again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit and eat with his family. But however, the sunnah way of eating is to make sure that eating is not a source of discomfort for those you are eating around, such as eating with mouth open, making sounds, etc. So again, that's a very good example of having adab, for having etiquettes and manners whilst performing the sunnah as well. Again, the person that is seeking this knowledge of Islam needs to be lenient when in dealings with people. The foundation of ilm, the foundation of knowledge, is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private and public. Nobody truly fears him apart from a knowledgeable person. So again, this is another virtue, this is another beautiful trait of somebody that is seeking profound knowledge of the deen. And when you are seeking knowledge of the deen, you have more fear, because you are more fearful of Allah in private and in public as well. And that's the thing, when you are fearful of Allah in private, that's how you know you are in a very good position. Because in public, what tends to happen is people are scared to do certain things because they are in the public. They're in the public eye, people are watching them. And so they tend to do things that they wouldn't do in public, in private as well. But a true mu'min, a true believer, is somebody that fears Allah in private. So even though they are in private and they won't get caught by anybody, but they stop themselves. They stop themselves because they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. And again, when you are a seeker of knowledge, that is the beauty that comes with it. Because you are constantly mindful of Allah and you take your validity away from the dunya. You aren't seeking validation. You aren't seeking praise from the dunya anymore, because you are more reliant. You care what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of you. You allow yourself to be more mindful in that aspect, and it's truly beautiful. And actually, the types of mu'min, the types of believers that have the most fear is the one that seeks knowledge. And the reason why seekers of knowledge have the most fear is because they know and have managed to get a glimpse of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, like for example, a scholar isn't considered a scholar unless he or she acts upon the knowledge and has fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No scholar implements this knowledge unless it gains him the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with hope, of course, you should not let that feeling of fear dominate absolutely everything. We must be hopeful in the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must always have a positive perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But seeking knowledge, because we see the greatness of Allah, we have that fear instilled within us, and we must always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and hope. These are the two wings of the seekers of knowledge, the two wings of those, the sisters, the brothers and Muslim brothers and sisters, the believers, the Muslim women that seeks knowledge. Those are the two wings that allows her to fly, metaphorically, again. And again, that is fear and hope. And so we must lower our wing and then put our arrogance and pride behind us. That's a big reminder. We should always remember, when we have this hope and fear that we are getting from seeking knowledge and seeking the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must not even think of displeasing him by letting arrogance and pride get in the way. And as a seeker of knowledge, as somebody who is seeking the beautiful divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must adorn ourselves as Muslim women with forbearance, with patience, humbleness to the truth, and tranquility when dealing with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must show humility in the truth. And that's the thing. If we're arrogant, then this prevents us from seeking the benefits of the knowledge. And eventually that leads to our heart becoming hardened. Whereas if we humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this knowledge will soften our hearts. And again, as we're being seekers of knowledge, we must be watchful of our tongue. And then, again, the more we humble ourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater we will be in the ranks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And it's truly, truly so beautiful as well. And also with this fear, we also need to remember that this blessing of ilm, this knowledge, is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we are arrogant, right, when we show arrogance while seeking this knowledge by being arrogant in front of other people, thinking that we are better than them, even if it's verbally. And also another thing, arrogance when we're unintentionally being arrogant, and that's through our heart as well. We might even look down on people without even realizing, and that's why we must make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from arrogance as well. And actually their punishment of arrogance is that the person is deprived of implementing this knowledge in their life. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from arrogance. Ameen. Because again, could you imagine, a big punishment would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopping us from implementing this knowledge in our life. And that is something that we must refrain ourselves from. And that's why, you know, renewing our intentions constantly. The more knowledgeable we get, we must be more mindful and more wary that arrogance could be something that we resort to without realizing in our hearts. So we must always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. The more we hold onto humility, the more barakah, the more goodness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put in our knowledge and in our life. And the more knowledge increased, we are naturally humbled. A permanent humility becomes, you know, obvious in our hearts, and our wings become lowered. We become more compassionate and more humble when we are dealing with people as well, especially once we seek that knowledge and we share with others. We must always remember that we must renew our intentions, and that this knowledge that we share must help the other person. And there is nothing more beautiful in Islam than a Muslim that is beneficial to his brother or sister, to another Muslim. And when we are able to share this beautiful knowledge, we are passing on the gift of this knowledge that can help improve someone's life as well. And we must utilize our time wisely to gain this beautiful love. And honestly, the more you fall in love after seeking knowledge, I don't want to say after seeking knowledge, because I think it's a continuous pathway, but what happens is that the more you seek knowledge, you give up more time because you love it so, so much. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. Okay, so now let's move on to the practical aspect, and that is, how as a Muslim woman can I make time for seeking knowledge? Actually, before I get into that, I think one of the common questions is, how do I actually obtain authentic knowledge of the deen? And so my biggest advice is to go to your masjid, go to your local masjid and see if they run any classes, and the classes inshallah will be run by authentic, qualified brothers or sisters, sheikhs that will allow you to have access to that knowledge as well. It's very important that when we are seeking knowledge, we are seeking knowledge from qualified teachers who are able to teach us, who have, you know, been studying their whole life, have been dedicating their life to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot get knowledge from TikTok or Instagram or places like that, because that's not real knowledge. Real knowledge is where you are actually humbling yourself in front of Allah. You are taking time to think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what His commandments are, His teaching, and you are covering all aspects of the deen, adab, fiqh, Islamic scholarly traditions, the Quran, the hadith. You know, you're understanding Quranic Arabic as well. It's vital that as a Muslim woman, we make sure that we are getting authentic teachers to allow us to be, you know, having that access to that beautiful ilm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Another beautiful way is going online as well. Because of the rise of technology, what's so beautiful is that accessing knowledge is very easy and beneficial for us, actually. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity where it's so easy to access knowledge as well, like it's sitting there on our screens, yet some of us will refrain from it. So think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy in times of difficulty of this world, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy to access His knowledge online as well. There are many institutions, again, who are, you know, they have qualified teachers, they have Alima programs that will allow you to seek this knowledge. So again, if you're going to do an Alima program, you must remember to do an Alima program, but you must not be doing it to get the name, right? Oh, I'll become an Alima, I'll become a scholar. That's not what you're trying to do. You're trying to get authentic knowledge through this program to allow you to have all aspects of the deen covered, and that allows you to flourish in your understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, even Muslimah support system that we run as well, so if you search up on Instagram Muslimah support system, it is a small institution that we are currently working on, and we have authentic qualified teachers who teach tafsir, who teach tajweed as well. So again, seeking knowledge from institutions is very important. I don't want to like plug Muslimah support system in there, but I'm just giving you an example because it allows you to have that beautiful community as well of righteous women that want to be pious, that want to develop their taqwa. And having righteous company is vital when it comes to seeking knowledge, because you share that enjoyment and you share that reward with one another. So that is truly beautiful. So I highly recommend it. So any online institutions, again, going to your masjid as well, the classes that they hold is very important. And there are many Muslim teachers, Muslim scholars that are famous, like Mufti Menk or Sheikha Dr. Haifa Yunus. She has Jannah Institute. So again, a lot of places are free, some are priced, but it's all different. It's whatever you want, really. But just remember, you are seeking this knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's how you can access it. So if you are somebody that does not have access to the masjid, then inshallah, you can find an online institute, or you can even join Muslimah support system, where we are a small mini institute and that we are developing inshallah. And we provide Islamic education for women for free. And so again, that's run by authentic qualified teachers who are able to teach topics such as tafsir and tajweed and perfecting Quranic recitation and so on, inshallah. So again, if you don't have a local masjid, speak to someone about it, any Muslim friends, families, you know. But online is where it is at nowadays. That's what I'm seeing a lot of, and it's very beautiful because a lot of people have more access to it. So again, it's a mercy and a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He has allowed us to have access to this, so which is very, very beautiful. And finally, how can a Muslim woman find time to seek this beautiful knowledge, to find this beautiful knowledge, and how can we make time for knowledge as well? Now, so inshallah, I'm talking about my, you know, journey here as well when it comes to seeking knowledge. Ever since I've started formally seeking knowledge about the deen, and I work as well, so I am a working Muslim woman and I am a student of knowledge as well. And one thing I've noticed is that actually balancing can be quite difficult, and especially because I work from, you know, in the morning, like from 9 up until 3. What I try to do, like especially if I have classes as well, Islamic classes, I will always make time for them. If in my free time at work, so alhamdulillah, I'm a teacher, I do get some free time during the day. If my class time matches up to the school day and my free periods, then I will always, like that's one thing I'm really grateful for. I will always do my classes then. And you know, one thing that I love so much is that even at work, it allows you to be constantly reminded of Allah. But then after, when you come home, you must find the time to catch up on recordings and classes. It's really important that you have that self-discipline when it comes to actually making time for the dean, because that's an obligation. That obligation comes above work obligations, comes above, you know, being a parent and so on. And so it's vital that we are, you know, our career obligations as well. It's vital that we are putting our dean obligations foremost. Doesn't matter how tired we are, we must give ourselves that break and then take time out to actually focus on and spend time seeking the knowledge as well. And I think one thing that's really helped me so much is having a planner. Having a planner to write down exactly what time you're going to be spending in the day to seek knowledge of the dean. If you have more time on the weekend, then again, that's fantastic. Use the weekend, utilize it as well. And one thing that is so nice, and that one thing that I've been doing a lot is, like, especially where I study as well, when I'm studying the dean, I always like to make my, like, desk, my environment very, like, aesthetic, because it motivates me, right? So it motivates me. Like, I'll have, like, my nice, you know, I've got my iPad there, have my notes, and it really encourages you when you organize your notes, and it's really, truly so beautiful, and it just encourages you even more. You can even, like, have some nice food, cook yourself some nice food and actually sit down, learn the dean, and it really, you know, practice it, and it's truly so beautiful. So for me personally, creating an aesthetically pleasing desk space for seeking knowledge about the deen and about Islam, it can enhance focus, your inspiration, and a sense of tranquility as well, because it motivates you. Especially, like, I know for us girls as well, it's nice to have a nice setting around us to allow us to, you know, have a more stimulant, like, mindset when it comes to seeking knowledge as well. And again, this also what I'm going to share as well also applies to, you know, seeking knowledge, beneficial knowledge, like if you're in school, etc. as well, if you are, you know, searching for ways to make halal income and halal risk as well, and you are trying to have that nice time to yourself where you can seek that knowledge as well. But especially when it comes to seeking knowledge about Islam, that's what I'm obviously referring to, because that's the topic. So here are some, like, tips that I have used to achieve a nice, pleasing desk setup, or that allows you to have this beautiful environment where you can seek that knowledge and really implement it, and just also have it in a way where it allows you to unwind as well. I think that's also another thing. If you're seeking knowledge and you're sitting down and you're seeking it and you're listening to lectures and classes and making notes, you don't want to make it into a stressful time for you. You want to let that be your unwind time, where you unwind and you are happy and content and you're really enjoying the process as well. So number one is to organize your essentials. So keeping your desk clutter free by organizing the essential items, such as any fiqh books, or if your classes, if you're a student of knowledge and they ask you to, you know, get certain books, then obviously have your books nicely lined and have the correct books for the right class as well. Having notebooks, if you're somebody that likes to write notes down physically. I am more of an iPad girl. I write all of my notes. I type them all up. For my Quranic Arabic classes, I usually use notebooks as well, especially when writing in Arabic. But for me, typing is easy. But if you're somebody that likes to write, then obviously having, like, your nice notebooks, pens, and any reference materials as well nearby. So when I say reference materials, especially when you're a student of knowledge, it's really important to make sure that you have any books or any PDF files there where you can quickly refer to, especially the Quran. Having the Quran by your side in English translation as well allows you to make quick references. So if your teacher puts up a verse, I don't know, for example, chapter 18 verse 5 or something like that, right? And then that way you can quickly refer to your Quran, make a note of it, make a reference note of it, and that way you can turn back to it as well. It's really key when it comes to being a student of knowledge as well. Again, you can use things like organizers, trays, to store smaller items like stationery and notes. That's something that I do and I love so, so much. Another way is, and actually I see a lot of sisters do this on Instagram. I see it and I get inspired, and that is, like, incorporating Islamic art as well. So decorating your desk with, you know, Islamic art. Calligraphy is so beautiful, sisters. Like, I really, really recommend it. It just sets the mood. It just looks very nice. nice as well. Having Quran verses around you to really like inspire you and motivate you, especially any verses that, you know, really talks about seeking knowledge, any hadiths. I think it's really beautiful and it's a great stimulant to push you to make that effort when it comes to seeking knowledge of the deen as well. Or like pictures of mosques as well, which is truly beautiful. And again, it allows you to stay inspired, and having that work area where you are feeling inspired to constantly work on your deen is beautiful. Another thing that I like to do is going towards soft lighting, especially when in the evening. I don't like artificial lighting so much. So when I turn my bedroom light on, it's just not right. Like, I just want to be, you know, more like at a restful stage when I'm seeking knowledge as well. So having natural lighting is really nice, soft as well. So having your lamp there, but during the day, it's really good to have natural lighting there because it keeps you awake. But I really like it as well. And also fairy lights. I am a big obsessor over fairy lights as well, because it's just so nice. So again, depending on whether you're studying in the day or evening, try and make the lighting appropriate to how you are feeling as well, so you feel comfortable and you feel cozy as well. Making sure that you're comfortable in your sitting area as well, having comfortable seating. So making sure that you know, you're in a chair that isn't going to like make you want to get up and make you feel agitated, because that's not a nice feeling. You want to be comfortable, you want to be cozy, you want to be really, you want to spend all of your energy focusing on the beautiful knowledge of Islam rather than you know, half of your head thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in so much pain. So again, it allows you to feel more comfortable and also supports your posture as well, because you're going to be sitting and studying and really, you know, paying attention to the deen as well. And it provides you comfort during long study sessions. Again, if you want to make it look cute and aesthetic, so like adding like a blanket, that's what I love doing as well. I always add a blanket over me and it helps relax me so much. Another thing that I love to do is like, you could also add like candles as well. Like, subhanAllah, I think I came across a brand on Instagram and they were selling candles that were scents or fruits or things like that from the sunnah or from the Quran that is mentioned. And it is so beautiful, because if you have that like around you, it makes the vibe, I want to say vibe, but it just makes your like setting a lot more better, again, more inspirational, and it calms you down as well. For me personally, less clutter as well. Like, make sure that you just don't have clutter lying around. Just making sure that you have a minimalist design on your workspace for you to study. So embracing a minimalist design aesthetic to maintain a clean, harmonious workspace. And also like choosing furniture as well with like neutral colors and uncluttered surfaces, because then it allows you to be more focused and it allows you to have more space to kind of just move, and more space for your studying as well. Also, another thing that I truly love, and the final touch, and that's playing Quran in the background as well, especially when I'm in my tafsir class, for example. It's so beautiful having the surah playing in the background. It's so beautiful because it allows you to calm down as well. And so yeah, so inshallah, next episode I'll be talking more in detail about how to actually implement this practice of this knowledge, and how we can make time to actually seek knowledge as well, and kind of all the it girl ways of seeking knowledge in a way where we are able to make time for it as well. So I'm very excited, inshallah, to do that podcast for you sisters. But we are now at the end of the podcast, so I pray you sisters enjoyed this podcast, and inshallah I will be trying my best to be more consistent, and I really pray that you are all in the best of health and iman, inshallah, and I will speak to you all soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.